This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. You think the roads are bad in Michigan? The state's stormwater systems are just as bad. The American Society of Civil Engineers puts out a report card for Michigan's infrastructure, and in 2018, the roads and the stormwater systems both got a D-. But stormwater is kind of out of sight, out of mind. We don't think about it until the streets are flooded or the sewer backs up into your basement. Here to talk a little bit about Michigan's ailing stormwater system is Greg Kozvinski with OHM Advisors. So why did Michigan get that D-minus grade?
I was actually part of the group that gave that grade for multiple reasons. Number one, we built a lot. We developed a lot after World War II, so our cities grew quickly. During that period of time, we kind of neglected the older parts of town. So all those pipes and manholes are starting to age, and many of them are 70, 80 years old, and they've never really been touched. And the other side of it is that Michigan cities, the vast majority of them anyway, don't have a funding source for stormwater, so they really can't get to it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because at least one city does, and it's getting a lot of complaints. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We saw this huge sewer pipe collapse in Macomb County. It cost millions of dollars to fix just that portion of it. Is that Michigan's stormwater management future?
I think for a lot of our utilities, that is the future. You know, sinkholes is just one thing. When you get to water systems, it's people getting sick, like Flint. And with stormwater, it's not just sinkholes, but it's flooding. It's people's basements getting backed up. It's streams going out of their banks and damaging property all over the place.
Let's do a little history about this because communities used to get a lot of federal money for projects like this. That money's kind of dried up. Why?
So after the Clean Water Act, which was passed in 1972, there were billions of dollars poured into federal grants, and those were grants. So those were monies given to communities to build sewer systems, treatment plants, water systems. That money started drying up in the early to mid-1980s, and the EPA changed its focus on loans instead of grants.
Right, it's a revolving loan fund, if I remember right.
Exactly. Yeah. So where communities used to be able to rely on money coming down or raining down from the federal government, now the federal government is there to say, we'll give you money, but we'll give you a low-interest loan, but you're going to pay us back. And that's harder to swallow.
There is a lot of old infrastructure, as you mentioned. I think of Detroit, and cities like Detroit are now taxing homes and businesses on a square footage of their roof as a way to raise funds for stormwater runoff. Businesses are screaming about how high those taxes are. Is that what other cities are going to be forced to do as we start to deal with these aging stormwater management systems?
So what the city of Detroit is doing is actually, and this is an important statement, it's not a tax, it's a fee. and the key difference between a tax and a fee is for you're paying somebody for a demand that you place in the system, right? So in Detroit, if you have a large property with parking lots and rooftop, you place a demand on their system. So the city of Detroit has to send that runoff to their treatment plant because they have a combined sewer system. And Ann Arbor has a stormwater utility fee. And they've had one for probably over 25 years now. And that fee, again, it's a fee, not a tax, is based on the same, impervious coverage on a property. And the city's done quite well with it. They've been able to do a lot with that revenue.
You mentioned combined sewer system. I think those systems are a bit of a mystery for most of us. Some cities have separate stormwater and sewer systems. In fact, the federal government recommended that decades ago, and few cities have taken on that expense. Other cities have these combined stormwater sewer systems. So why is there that difference?
In the early 20th century, as cities really started to develop, it was cheaper for communities to build one set of pipes. So the pipes that were built were essentially, before cities were built up, they were just ditches. And so everything went into the ditch, right? Stormwater, bathroom drainage, everything. And then eventually they started to fill those in and put them in pipes just to get it out of the way, out of sight, out of mind. Those eventually became your combined sewer systems. And what happened is communities, it was too difficult and expensive to replace and separate those systems. So most of the cities that have combined sewers are larger, older cities. Some of the smaller, newer cities, they were able to separate the systems because things weren't so big and complex. So Detroit is a big, old system. New York is a big old system. So is Chicago. They're all combined sewers.
So the problems with those combined sewers are when there's a heavy rainfall and there's a sewer overflow, it goes out into Lake Michigan or Lake Huron or Lake Erie. So we've been seeing in recent years a lot more of these sewer overflows. Why is that happening?
Certainly, there are more frequent rainfalls, intense rainfalls that we're seeing in the, over the last few decades. And climate scientists are certainly pointing to climate change on that. We're certainly seeing that in the numbers as well. The other thing is it's difficult to maintain these systems. And so, you know, over time, they the pipes that we put in the ground 50 years ago were designed under a different set of criteria. And so when rainfall changes and when climate changes, the system doesn't provide the same level of service that it used to.
I know the U of M, University of Michigan, has been working with some cities. Your firm, I assume, works with some cities about adapting to this changing weather, this changing climate. Are cities listening?
They are. However, it comes down to cost. So if you tell a community that their combined sewer system or their sewer system is undersized, and you give them the cost to do it, and it paralyzes them because they can't possibly pay for that. Cities like Ann Arbor can adapt because they have revenue.
You can't pay for flooding all the time either. I mean, that causes a lot of havoc and cost and complications for a city.
A lot of the flood mapping that FEMA did over the last few decades, you know, they generate all these floodplain maps. Yeah, those maps are out of date. And so communities, I've seen in a lot of cases, they don't want to necessarily know or put out there the bad news that the floodplain's worse, because number one, it requires more people to have to pay for flood insurance. Mm-hmm. And they realize the cost of fixing it. It's so overwhelming that in a lot of cases, it's hard to go there.
Well, let's stop talking about concrete pipes and things like that and talk about what some communities are doing. They're looking at these green stormwater management systems. How does that work?
There are some Chinese cities that put it the right way. They call them sponge cities. And that is you build low-lying areas that are designed to soak up the rainfall when it rains. So instead of going into the sewer system, the water gets soaked into the ground, and the plants take up that water and allows it to infiltrate. That we call it green stormwater infrastructure. There are lots of other fancy terms for it, but in a way, it's like putting a bunch of sponges around the city.
Does it work?
It does work.
Is it cheaper than putting new concrete pipes in?
It can reduce the cost because it reduces the volume of stormwater that gets into the system. It can help. It won't solve flooding by itself. You still have to deal with the what we call the gray infrastructure. That will never go away. And if it falls apart, you still have to replace it. But the green infrastructure can certainly help, especially in combined sewer areas, because then that's water you don't have to pay to treat.
Hmm. Other than repeated flooding, how does a community figure out that it needs to work on its stormwater management?
Usually flooding is the trigger. Sometimes regulatory action is the trigger. So if you have problems with pollution or sewer overflows, the MDEQ, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which is the regulatory arm of the EPA, they'll come in and they'll basically tell the community that you need to do something about it. But it's usually flooding that's the big trigger, because that's what gets the politicians noticing the problem.
Well, as a consultant, since it's going to cost so much to make these changes, what do you recommend cities start considering now, immediately?
Number one, to do an asset management plan. That is to take stock of all of your assets and evaluate them. Look at how do they look structurally. And once you've done that, then set up a funding source to make it happen. And so stormwater utilities are important. We've been trying to get legislation in Lansing to basically enabling legislation to allow communities to start stormwater utilities. As you're aware, there are a lot of lawsuits floating around that concept. And so without that legislation, I think a lot of communities are going to be they're probably going to avoid putting themselves out there by making or creating a stormwater utility. And that's the fee that we were talking about before.
And that's not going to make your voters very happy when they're suddenly, I'm paying for the rainfall. This is my fault. How? And I think people don't get the complications that it causes. But at the same time, when you go from a few dollars a month to hundreds of dollars a month, as has happened in Detroit in some cases, that's a lot of sticker shock to have to absorb.
It is. And I think people need to understand how we got here. If you look at the last, let's say, 35 years, going back to the early 80s, the population in Michigan has gone up about 8%. But the urbanized area in Michigan has gone up 50%. So we're all paying for more infrastructure. So even, you know, putting aside the structural condition of our infrastructure, we're all having to pay for more lane miles of roads, more water mains, more sewers. And so that is a reality. And I think as we move on, people are realizing that they have to pay higher sewer and utility bills because of that reality. And that's what people need to understand.
Greg Kosvinsky is a partner and practice leader for stormwater management for OHM Advisors. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
As you heard in that interview, I kind of laughed at the distinction between a fee and a tax. Well, it turns out that's a pretty important argument that's before the courts. The Michigan Supreme Court was briefed this week on a case that would decide whether the so-called rain tax in Detroit is a user fee or a tax that would be subject to a vote of the people. The Detroit Water and Sewerage Department charges homeowners and businesses for every square foot of their property that's covered by a roof, a driveway, or an impervious surface of some kind. The idea is if the ground can't soak it up, then it's running into the sewers and all that has to be treated at the sewer treatment plant. This new fee has a lot of people hopping mad. Here's a Detroit water activist and resident, D'Amico Williams, at a public hearing last summer just before the fee was fully implemented.
We have an affordability problem in this city that you still refuse to deal with. How are we going to pay these drainage fees and you can't even conclude or calculate how much you can't charge the rain? You can't charge Mother Nature.
Lisa Walensky is an attorney representing Detroiters. She argues that the fee is actually an unlawful tax, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Just fine. So the Court of Appeals ruled the Detroit drainage charge is a lawful user fee instead of an unlawful tax. Why do you think the court got it wrong?
Well, there's several parts of the court's decision that we disagree with. One is that there was really no lack of connection between the items that are charged and the actual problem the user fee is alleged to designed to regulate. The other issue is that the Court of Appeals determined that the case was mandatory or that the fee was mandatory, which we have some precedents in the Michigan Supreme Court regarding that in the case of Bolt versus Lansing. And that case sets out that there's three factors that the court has to look at in determining whether a user fee is a fee or whether it's a tax. And in our case, the court found in favor of the City of Detroit residents in finding that it is a mandatory fee, which under the Bolt standards would mean that the issue here is really a tax.
So let's break that down a little bit. If I own a piece of property and I've got so many square feet of roof and so many square feet of driveway, even if I take my driveway and turn it into an impervious surface so that it drains into the ground, and I capture my roof water and use it in rain barrels or somehow water my garden with it, I'm not getting any credit for that now?
You're going to get a credit for it, but you can never be absolved of actually having to pay the tax. So even though you've taken efforts to show that there's no rainwater that's actually hitting the Detroit sewage department lines, you're still going to have to pay the fee. And because there's this compulsory nature to it, we say it's a tax is one of the reasons at least.
Okay. So if I've still got some rain that escapes from my property, it does go into the storm sewer. It does get treated. That does cost money as part of the public. Shouldn't we be paying some of that?
No, this is an issue there's no pollutants necessarily directly in the rainwater that have to be treated. The problem is that when the rainwater flows, it does pick up some particulate and other matter. But that flowing is usually occurring on a public highway, public roadway, for most of our residents at least, or even for parking lots. But those public roadways aren't even being charged.
The city argues that the roads shouldn't be taxed because they're actually part of the infrastructure that takes rainwater to the rain gutters and gets it out.
Right. We just disagree with that.
So the city of Detroit is trying to maintain a sewer system that was built for 2 million people with fees from fewer than 700,000 people. How else is the city to maintain the system if not additional billing like for treating stormwater?
Well, stormwater is not a new problem. It's been around, you know, there's been stormwater utilities that have been created since like 1972, and there's more than 1,000 across the country. So a lot of cities create a stormwater utility, and that stormwater utility can then be designed to assess fees like these. But here we have a non-metered, no utility assessing a user fee, and there's really no correlation between the user fee and the treatment that the city of Detroit is providing.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Aside from the case you're working on right now, infrastructure, sewer pipes, they're crumbling all over the place in this state. How do you think municipalities should fix the funds to fix the sewer pipes and treatment plants?
Well, I think if you're searching for something that is going to be a fee that's imposed upon everybody and it's for the purpose of collecting a revenue, then that's usually a tax. So you have to take it to the electorate to actually get their consent.
Do you see any way of calculating differently that would allow there to be a fee charged per property rather than the way it's being done right now in Detroit?
Yeah, I think they could take away some of the compulsory natures of the fee. I think that if they made it a plan where if you could show, I mean, our main client, Nicola Binns, she has a garden and a rain garden even, and she collects almost all the water on her land because she's a gardener. She should be able to apply for a 100% tax credit or user fee credit under the program. But as it is now, she automatically always has to pay that fee, even though she's not being provided the benefit of any service because she's using all her water. It's all staying on her land. So I think that would take away from the compulsory nature. And right now, the city of Detroit, any unpaid drainage fees right now are being added on to people's taxes because they're unpaid water bills. So that even adds more to the compulsory nature. I think if that part was taken out of the equation where the drainage fee, if it wasn't paid, you didn't risk losing your house or shutting off the basic necessity of water service, I think that would make the fee, you know, much more manageable. The city has, to their credit, changed the fee since we filed the lawsuit and made it more reasonable. And so the program's becoming a little more fair, but it's still, in our opinion, with the mandatory provisions in place with residents who don't really get any service out of it being still charged, you know, we still argue that it's a tax.
Lisa Walensky is a public interest attorney and founder of ReDetroit East Community Law Center. Thanks very much for explaining this to us.
Thank you for having me.
We reached out to the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department for comment, and they sent us this statement. Quote, "We were pleased with the Court of Appeals ruling on the drainage charge and await the Michigan Supreme Court's opinion in this case." End of quote.